live in Chicago, some in Shadowland. We the Bears, monsters of the... Hello and welcome to episode 7, I believe it is, to the Panda and Grizzly Show. I am Panda Bear Fredo with Grizzly Brian, Brian Grizzly. It's one of those names. And we have Marvin. So for some reason, Marvin, your mic is muted. There we go. I know you want to be quiet and all alone.
No, I didn't want to make bodily noises on the camera, so I muted it for you guys. It was all for your benefit. Tacos tonight.
Yeah, I can see the paint peeling off the wall as we speak. Exactly. That's Taco Tuesday. Yeah, so welcome, everybody. I'm glad you could join us. We have a big show today. We're going to talk about Bear necessities, the defensive side of it, and let's get right into it because we got a lot of stuff to cover. There's the who's Jalen Ramsey daddy. There's the what was the other thing? Well, you know what? Let's just jump right into it and let's start it off. So it's going to be a great show. Anybody there? Hello?
Oh, it was like,
you said
let's start it off with
All right. Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We had our first commercial break without a commercial. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Anyways.
No, I can't wait for week one. For week one, they've already been talking all kinds of stuff, you know, with the Bears fans, the Chicago fans are being exactly what Chicago fans are. Yeah. The best shit talkers in the world when it comes to stuff. That's all we do is talk shit. And it's already getting to them. It's already getting to Mrs. Ramsey over there.
I did not hear anything of it until maybe 1.5 hours ago.
Yeah.
So Andy Martinez said, haha, today the Packers day. Okay, Andy, you can no longer follow us.
Right.
Unless you go out there and kill a Packer fan. I'm just kidding. Don't kill him. Just
don't
get some fudge and pack it. That's all. But dude. So I didn't hear about it from like maybe an hour ago, an hour and a half ago, that Jalen Ramsey's dad is Mooney, I guess, because he, you know, Bears and trash trash.
No, I mean there was a few plays in that game that he just torched him, and then the quarterback couldn't get the ball to him.
Yeah,
so Jalen Ramsey is a great player, great physical corner and stuff like that. Sometimes he takes plays off. He does. Sometimes he takes plays off.
I don't know if that's as much as it is. Also, Jalen Ramsey likes big physical receivers. That's not what Mooney is. Mooney is a quick, fast guy. You know that. You know, don't you? That pisses you off more than anything when you like. I mean, Marvin, you're a left tackle. You get this little guy,
and
you're like 5'8", yo, fast as fuck. You're like, what the fuck is this doing?
I'm in high school, 6'6", 260, and there's a 5'5", 195 guy running circles around me because I'm like, look, you're not even playing. You're just running track now. Like,
right.
You want to come, you know, hit. I used to love, let me get a big guy. They're strong. We can stalemate this out.
All day.
Right. We'll be fat together and then we'll be all right.
Fat together. Share a pie.
Right, exactly. Be tired at the end, you know.
But that's what they're doing with Jalen Ramsey. He's like, if I got Allen Robinson, that's one thing, but when you got Darnell Mooney running around, running damn routes, running all the damn go routes, there's nothing worse than for a safety or a corner to be like, a go route again? What the fuck?
Exactly.
So he's like, man, whatever. But I Googled it first. I was like, Jalen Ramsey's father? What the fuck is this?
I'm like, is that even possible?
It was hilarious.
Yeah, they should really stop letting people just add random shit to Wikipedia. Like they really should. Like
that this is funny.
This has happened enough. Like they should be like, maybe you should fact check this. You know, that this is gonna be accurate instead of making new memes. Oh, that's what their goal is. Wikipedia goal number 3: new memes. You know,
that is awesome. And yes, his speed is phenomenal. He is. I saw it And that's the one where Foles just threw off his back foot. Yeah. But Ramsey bit hard. Like, if there was a stimulus check on the field, right, or just, you know, deep dish pizza or something, he bit hard. Like, and Mooney just like, deuces. And there's Foles.
That's when somebody that's a competent quarterback just lofted it up there, he'd have been gone.
Yeah. I mean, gone, that's all he had to do. You know? But yeah, I think he went out of bounds. So,
yeah.
It is what it is. Right. So now Ramsey, of course, he's all salty. He's can't wait to week one so all these lame-ass Bears fans can shut the fuck up about their number two receiver. It's funny because they know better, too. Now you're just spiked.
First off, we don't know better.
Right.
Mr. Horace Ramsey.
Obviously, you don't have any Chicago friends. We will talk shit even if you did win. Fuck you.
And you did win. And we don't care.
So, yeah, I mean, so not only the Bears fans not so gently remind Ramsey he got burned by a fifth-round rookie last season, a few of them used the world's largest search engine to make a joke at the Rams corner's expense for an unknown amount of time on May 18th. That was just, what, yesterday? Oh, no, it's actually today. Yeah, holy cow. Today. Those Googling the words Jalen Ramsey's father were met with the image of a profile of Mooney. Naturally, Bears Twitter ran with them with it. The Windy City Productions tweeted, LMAOOO, search Jalen Ramsey's father on Google. So Twitter's huge, and they just Google shit out of it. And Twitter's awesome.
The birthplace of all petty on the internet, pretty much. Exactly. Everything petty that happens starts on Twitter. So yes. I'm not surprised, but I'm really excited about that game, and I think that's going to set a lot of tone, especially for the defense and how well they do.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they're going up against Matt Stafford so we can hit him some more. Yep. You know, that's going to be great.
I worry about this game, honestly. I feel like Matthew Stafford, we don't give him any credit. He was a Detroit Lion, and I mean, he has all the talent to be a very good quarterback. But when you were Detroit, I mean, you're born to suck. That's just what it is. No one from Detroit has ever done well. Like, they had the greatest, might be the greatest, most talented receiver ever, and they still fucked it up. Both receiver and running back, and still can't win a playoff game. That's how fucked up they are.
With Stafford, he is dangerous. And I think the Rams are a better fit for him there than he was with Detroit. Yeah. Because now he has actual weapons. So I believe the Goff-Stanford trade improved the Rams. So it is dangerous.
100%. The whole time that he was on the Lions, I would have traded any quarterback we had to have Matt Stafford on the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have been, better. You know, he's a good quarterback. He is, and he doesn't get – hopefully he can have some success, not week one. So that he can get his credit, but there's a whole lot of terrible quarterbacks out there. He's not one of them. You know, he's a great quarterback, but I'm looking forward to those defensive linemen from Mack and Goldman and stuff to get in them when they play in week one. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it is. So there's going to be two matchups to look at: is Stafford versus the Bears defense, and then there's Ramsey versus Mooney. So let's hope Mooney gets the best deal of it, and I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is.
What it is, all those fast receivers like had to be so ecstatic when we got Justin Fields, because he's a great deep ball thrower. And when he gets in the game, that's going to change our entire offense and the look of our offense, because they can't just be laying off those deep ball throws, because he can hit them. And he has 70 yards with a flick of a wrist, and that's going to really change the game. So you can talk all the shit you want now, but if we see you in the playoffs with Justin Fields as our quarterback, he might get in your ass. I'm just saying.
That's funny. All right, so that's one. What was the other one we discussed briefly before the show?
So I was talking – I was listening to radio this morning, or it was yesterday morning, and Matt Nagy was on talking about Justin Fields.
Okay.
And he was saying that he's so ecstatic to work with him. He's like, he's really picking up stuff. He doesn't know how fast or how slow he's going to pick up everything, but everyone in Chicago will know at the same time because, you know, when he's ready, everyone will see it because he's going to get opportunity throughout the season no matter what. So, but when he's ready, we'll see him and we'll see him on the field. And then they asked him, so what about Andy Dalton? Why'd you go get Andy Dalton? He's like, Andy Dalton right now is our number one quarterback. But when Justin Fields is ready, Andy will know too. And he'll sit his ass on the bench too, just like that. So
right over there next to Nick. Got it warmed up for you, boy.
Yeah. Get used to it.
Right. I think that veteran quarterbacks that have been, I'm not even going to say journeyman because he didn't really journey where you've just been in Seattle, but like he knows, you know what you've done and where you're at in your career and stuff like that. Like, you're not going to get 33 and now I'm Tom Brady. Like,
right.
It's not gonna happen that way. You're trying to secure a role for a place for the next year, and you need to do that. And people want to see that you're gonna teach. Everybody knows that Justin Fields is the future. Right. Don't sit there with Andy Dalton or Nick Foles and think that, hey, we're gonna throw this kid aside no matter what. They'd have to go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl for them to be like, oh, let's hold off on this Justin Fields thing. You know, that's what have to happen. So, you know, I feel like when you, especially in the NFL, at where Andy Dalton's at, mm-hmm. he's like, hey, I just need to do the best I can so I can get an opportunity to show that I can still do this. I need to do, because like I think I can still play. I could think I still got 3-4 more years in me. If he thinks that, I don't know if he does, but you know, I've gotta do great so I can get my next opportunity.
So do you think if Andy Dalton's doing good, and we discussed a little bit about this before the show. If Andy Dalton's, like, let's just say the Bears record's 4-1, for example.
Keep me.
Dalton's 22 TDs and 2 picks.
That's, right? Wait, first off, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. I think the numbers need to be that high before they switch QBs. Because if we're doing good, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. I understand Fields is our future. 100%. Let's give
and every Bears fan to tell you, if Andy Dalton comes in and does 4-1, hey, whatever's happening, let's see what's going on. Maybe he gets some of that Disney Airbug magic or something. I don't know what's happening, but like, you know, that's what it was. Yeah. We need to run that out. You know, maybe you got Mike Seeger stuff in a water bottle or something. But yeah.
that's funny. That's
but
funny.
You know,
I'm gonna say this. You know, remember Alex Smith. With when he was with the
Niners,
no, Chiefs? With Chiefs,
okay,
he was 12-4. He did great the year before when Mahomes was a rookie. And yes, mm-hmm. You know what they did the next year? We're like, how'd they get rid of Alex Smith? He had almost an MVP year, and they're like, all right, Alex, good job, bro. It's time to go. So that's okay. So let him do what he got to do this year, get everything he has. You'll audition for another team, and then we'll slap him on the ass, say, good job, we appreciate it, hit the road.
Yeah.
Didn't they let him go because he got hurt? Because that's when...
Yeah, when his...
When he got hurt at Kansas City, didn't he?
No, he got hurt in San Fran.
Oh, in San Fran.
Yeah, that's when his leg exploded. Oh, Jesus, that was rough.
I got a big Liberty Bell over there. That's all.
Shoot the J. You missed it a little bit, huh?
Right. That's what it like. See, the problem is you didn't say Kobe. You just threw it over there. You
I just threw it. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is why I play football. Right. This is why I play football. Perfect example. And I would not say Kobe, RIP. I would say Jordan. Jordan for 3.
Hey, no. The Kobe thing is universal. Yeah. Everybody knows you shooting the trash, whatever you're shooting.
You have to say
you
Kobe.
You got to say Kobe. That's the rule.
That's funny.
Even before he died.
And then it sits on the edge of the garbage can right there. It sits on the edge a little bit.
Yeah. Knowing me, it just fucking hits the backboard and that's it. Okay, anything else before we jump into our bare necessities for the defense?
Good, man.
That sounds good. Let's get started.
All right. Let's start. So, it is the Painted Grizzly talking about the defense. So, starting D-line. Once again, I'm explaining to our viewers, all one of them, or three. I think that's us three because we're just watching ourselves. Of course, this is more of a projection of the 53-man roster, like early, early projection, because they're not going to do starting cuts until August-ish. So instead of writing all our available defensive ends and linebackers, cornerbacks, I just did some studying and research, and I put in what I think what's going to happen. So, yeah, let's get it started. The starting D-line, I think, is going to be Akeem Hicks on the left, Eddie Goldman on the tackle, and Nichols on the right. So, and then we got Blackson, Tonga, and Edwards. So, sorry for the Edwards name a little bit off. It should have been centered. But either way, yeah, deduct a couple points for my – there goes my 5-star rating for this. there goes that. So what do you guys think of that? Is that even possible? Hicks, Goldman, and Nichols. And I think Goldman has one game suspension coming back still.
Or was that? No, Edwards does.
Edwards. Yeah. Okay.
Edwards, I believe Edwards has a 4-game suspension. And if all things were fair, everything was even, I think Edwards would actually be your starting defensive end on the right side. But Nichols is a good 3 technique, but we don't need really a 3 technique right here now. So you put him at defensive end right for now. He can hold his own, but he's not going to be rushing the quarterback, and he's not going to need a double team. But Goldman and Hicks together will, you know, force a double team. Yeah. And then now when you add those outside linebackers, that does put a lot of pressure. But right, it begins and it ends with Eddie Goldman, and that's what our defense was missing last year. I mean, we just didn't understand how important this guy was.
Yeah,
you know, he is, and he was an alternate for the not all pro for a Pro Bowler. He is special. You have to double team this guy.
Yeah.
And that allows Hicks to do what he needs to do, allows Mac to do what he's gonna do.
And Hicks, if they're next to each other, you gotta make decisions. That's when you gotta make the offensive line make a decision. Okay, what are we gonna do? So now we just don't have these 5 guys up here blocking. We come with a tight end, the running back is standing in, whatever it is, and that's what those 2 guys get you. Now we got a game plan for this. Because a lot of times, even last year, they weren't game planning for. They're like, hey, look, take care of Mac, and then everything else will be whatever, you know.
Say 2 for Mac, 2 for Hicks, and everyone else just man up.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, even though Edwards is going to be suspended, I just got to point out, I never knew Goldman's arms were so freaking huge.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if you look at the picture. And then, of course, Nichols, they're all cut and fine. And Hicks, they're all cut and defined themselves.
I want to see that. But I want to see what it looks like when he's coming into camp. Like, because, you know, being off a whole year, you're not playing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, if he's not keeping up with it, he can, you know, he can come back and be a cheeseburger. We wouldn't know.
Right.
I haven't seen him.
If Goldman performs, like, outstanding – he took off 2020 because of COVID.
Yeah.
So, and look how poorly the run defense happened, even the pass defense. Goldman comes back and everything shuts down. Like, you know, we stop everything because of him. His stock's going to balloon, skyrocket up.
Well, Goldman is already making $8 million. He's making $8 million this year. So he is one of the highest paid nose tackles in the game. But the thing is, you know, and the reason why you didn't have to worry about him being a cap casualty is that he owed almost all $8 million of that dollars because he took off last year.
Right.
So we had to pay him regardless. So you don't have to worry about losing him for the next 2 years. Goldman's going to be there.
Right.
Now, Hicks on the other end, I mean, we need to keep him because we'll be able to pay him next year. And that's why I just don't think they understand those things.
Right.
Or looking ahead of time.
So – once again, you know, Edwards has a 4-game suspension. So what I'm thinking, Sheldon Richardson is still available out there. He's 36-3, 294. Last year, he played 16 games. He had 62 tackles, 33 were solo, And why is this off? The sacks was, he got 4.5 sacks, 3 pass deflections, and 1 forced fumble.
So
why is this off? I am shocked.
Anyway, we're good. But Sheldon Richardson, I think it's going to cost us a lot of money if you try to get Sheldon Richardson. Mm-hmm. That's a man. That's a beast right there. Sheldon Richardson, I can't see him getting less than $12 to $13 million.
Right. And
you can't pay someone like that because Hicks would be like, "What? What, nigga?" you just can't do that. So I don't know. Yeah. Sheldon Richardson is on the.
He got 13 and a half mil last year from the Browns in 2020. So,
wow, 13 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a 3-year, $37 million contract. So that's why, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Oof. I mean,
I do think that they're going to have to do something in this time, in this free agent market, to add that one little piece left. And it may be this, but it, you know, we're going to talk about cornerbacks and stuff too. But, you know, Ryan Pace wants to look like a genius and get people back on his side. He's going to have to make something else happen. Especially for the defense. Like, I feel like offensive line, we've got what we need to make a run, even with the running backs and the wide receivers we have, and, you know, how Justin Fields develops. But there's just – we need one more piece for the defense.
Yeah, I agree. Strongly agree. And I think he, on far as defensive line, might be it. But if we're able to hold our own for the first 4 games, then maybe not. Because I'm sure he's going to get off the market soon, and
I think he's going to get picked before the season starts. He's going to be in somebody's camp.
Either. Yes, it's somewhere like during the preseason, because when they do the first cuts and injury starts, and you know,
I don't think he's going to make it that long. I think it's going to be before then.
Yeah. Well, if he does, too. I mean, it's a hell of a pickup. So, yeah.
Well, I think we did a great job with the draft for our defensive line. Mm-hmm. Honestly. I think Chris Tonga, like we've talked about before, he's going to really affect the line. I mean, if he could give Goldman a few blows, so, you know, be able to breathe on the sideline, that changes the whole defensive line.
Yeah. And this is something
he does stuff.
I feel like this is something they don't talk about enough. Like in football, they talk about a lot in basketball, role players.
Mm-hmm.
We need Tonga to come in and do that. Hey, be big and be in the way. Give Goldman a rest. So this is he's not putting him in on third down. Goldman needs to be in on third down. You know, it's the start of a series. Let him be in there first, second down, then get Goldman in on third down.
Right.
You
know,
if you start seeing the time of possession get too much on the defense, that's when your defensive coordinator is making those, okay, this is the plan for the substitutions. We can make sure our guys stay fresh for that.
Exactly.
And I think that look, you grow and develop Tonga, you help him with his weaknesses and stuff like that. But look, you got one job, man. Right here is where you live.
Plug the hole.
Right here is where you live. Right. I'm not asking you to chase the quarterback down. It'd be great if you did. Clog it up. That's it. Clog it up.
Now, I'm just throwing it out there. Imagine if there was a 4-3 instead of a 3-4, because I think Tonga right next to Goldman.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, that reminds me of Taylor and Washington back in, what, the 90s? Mid-90s?
Was it all the way ago? Was that the 90s?
No, it was the 2000s.
It was 2000s.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know.
03, 04.
It seems.
The late
90s.
You just made me feel old as hell, man. 90s, what?
Yeah, Jesus. All right. Next is the starting linebacker core. So, of course, we got the edges, which is the Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack. And then in the middle, we have Walker Smith and Trevathan. Honestly, I think this line, if Quinn can perform better than he did last year, which I hope he does, because we need him. And we pay him a lot of money for it. And I really do think it's because, what's his name? The old defensive corner that retired?
Pagano,
he was more conservative, while the new guy we got, the replacement, he is more, I believe he's going to be more aggressive because he was under Fangio's defense. Yeah. You know, so I think Robert Quinn can become a Khalil Mack-ish type of player. And if that does happen, these four are going to be practically unstoppable. I can see a bunch of sacks between all four.
The thing is, you know, getting double teams for Mack, and then you're going to talk about double teaming, you know, Hicks or Goldman to make sure they get in control of. He's gonna be over here. Hey, look at me. I'm up against a tight end. You know, hey, look at me. I'm up against, you know, somebody small. Mm-hmm. He needs to eat, and all that stuff goes back and forth. Okay, we got to do something now. Okay, now Mack gets some. Oh, we got to do something about Hicks. Oh, well, now this other guy gets it. If you can have a healthy line that we have set up with the defensive line and our linebackers, there's not a whole lot of units that look better than that.
Right.
You're telling me that Hicks isn't a Pro Bowl. You're telling me Goldman's not a Pro. You're telling me Mack's not a, you know, when I, and you tell Smith's, Roquan's definitely a Pro Bowler.
Yes.
You know, I think he's going to have a breakout year, you know, this year. People go, oh, okay, this guy's the truth. And he'd be like, yeah, he is. We know now, but everybody else is going to go.
He's going to be all pro season, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially with
Goldman in the center. Yeah. These two guys are going to have fun.
If they can stay healthy, all those guys have the talent level to be like, man, the Bears, you know, defensive line and linebackers is like, these are like the top, you know, units on there. And that's the way the Bears need to go. You know, you're covering up some of them problems when you're hitting the quarterback. You're rushing them to throw the ball. Your cornerbacks cannot get exposed if they're struggling in camp, which we're not sure about yet. But that's, you know, going to be the thing to see. I think everything else on there, I'm sure about. I'm sure Khalil's is a monster. I'm sure Goldman's a monster. I'm sure Hicks is a monster. I'm sure Roquan is a monster. People don't have this many certainties going into the season like the Bears, you know, defensive front has, you know.
Right.
So I'm excited about that, and it's just going to be, we got to see what's going to happen.
Right.
I almost went in research when I saw the thing about Jalen Ramsey. Researched the Rams offensive line to see how good it was. I don't know how good they are, but you know,
here's what my only worries are, our linebackers right now. First of all, is the depth. One person we're missing over there on there is Josh Woods. Josh Woods did a very good job last year, especially after we lost Roquan and Danny a couple games.
Yep.
Josh Woods is a solid backup, and we might need that because Danny Trevathan never goes two seasons without being a major injury. It's never happened. Always has a major injury. It's just
something's going to happen. They're gonna come back to you saying this on this podcast, and everybody's going to come to get you. You're going to be out there with Bartman and the Cubs for the bullshit that you are right now, Brian. I put a hex on you. All my life, I had to.
Jesus.
Don't you bring that hoodoo in here, Brian, with that talk.
Where's Kramer when we need him? He has all that.
Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean.
I say Roquan definitely has an all-pro type of year. Danny Trevathan has great talent, but he's getting older. He's slower, and that's why it's important to find his backup.
In the beginning of the year, it showed a lot last year how, like, his age was showing a lot, you know, beginning of last year. And then he got it together. Maybe it was because of COVID and stuff like that and, you know, not having as much training camp.
They hit him. They hit Trevathan a lot. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to find out that Trevathan he came from Denver. He was an unbelievable cover inside linebacker.
Yeah.
You could put him on tight end. He was fast. He was long. He was so athletic.
That's not right. That's he got burned on a couple of those plays when he was covering somebody. Oh, man, that was a couple of those. He looks slow.
Who's guarding him? And he was like, man, Dave Trevathan looked like he's running like he's, I don't know.
Like an injured 1996 Madden player. Just
Exactly. So that's why I want to make sure that we understand Josh Woods did a very good job when Roquan went out last year. So he's someone that I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up playing a lot more.
That's right.
And I think it's going to be a rotation. We know Khalil Mack is there. No matter what Khalil Mack, he only had 9 sacks. You always have to double team him because as soon as you single cover him, so, he will mess up.
You know, I know Aaron Donald averages 20 sacks, but you just said he only had 9 sacks. 9 sacks is a lot of sacks.
It is.
You know, I mean, you know, if we can get Quinn to get half that on the other side, and then get those other guys in there some. Like,
I just need Quinn to be Leonard Floyd. He needs to be Leonard Floyd of last year. Just get all the little sacks that everyone else missing out, that double team everybody else. And Rob Quinn's like, oh, I ran to him.
So many of Leonard Floyd sacks look like this. Oh, look, a prize. You know, just walked in.
Prize in the Cracker Jack box. That he just crumpled up. That's funny.
And that's I need Robert Quinn. Just be that guy. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be anything. He has the talent. He is a starting off outside linebacker. Be healthy and just pick clean up. Be a garbage man.
Right.
Pick all that stuff up. If Robert Quinn gets 11 sacks this year, Khalil Mack is going to have 15.
Yeah, I think these four are going to have a total of maybe 40 to 50, just in these four people right here. 40 to 50 sacks. Because if they each could get easily 10. I strongly believe
with the play calling, if he comes. But see, the thing about those guys, those inside backers, that's going to be about what the safeties can do and what they can do to cover those gaps up. And that's another thing that I don't know how to judge as much, especially in camp, how well your guys are doing. But the defensive coordinator needs to figure that out so he can gauge where his guys are at before we do that and start getting toasted and stuff like that in the actual season. Like,
but that's what,
whatever metrics you have for your safeties to be successful, he needs to figure that out quick so he can know what his plans are going to be and how he can use his guys for that. Because if you're going to be blitzing those guys, you know, somebody, hey, dump it off right behind them. Not a safety's got to get this guy. And it's who is that? Somebody, some stupid tight end. This is – Kittles or whoever being out, like, hey, I'm gone,
right?
You know,
exactly. And
Tim Tebow, you know, I'm gone, man.
Tim Tebow,
oh my god.
So,
but Roquan Smith,
he
shows a lot of great things. Roquan, I mean, Roquan is a killer. You put him out there the quarterback, he's gonna get to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we have to make sure we have someone behind him that can actually deal with you, though.
Yeah.
Right. So I was looking at the free agent, Justin Houston. I'm kind of a big fan of him because I like what he's good, honestly. And I think he has some in his tank. So he's 32, 6'3 at 270. Last year, he played 16 games. I believe he started all of them also. He had 25 tackles, 19 of them were solo, 8 sacks. So if Quinn... You know, I don't know how much this guy is going to be worth, but 8 sacks. He was able to bring up 8 sacks. If Quinn could come up with 8, that alone is going to be awesome. It's going to be great because we won't have to rely on free agency and spending extra money and cutting, restructuring, and all that stuff. So, once again, this is out there because I looked at the position and what I think would be a good fit for Houston, for the Bears.
This is actually a really good one, Justin, because Justin Houston was someone they were trying to get last year.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that everyone identified. They said, we need Justin Houston. That's a good choice.
Thanks.
You know, but I just don't, you know, I don't know if we could afford him, which is going to be the answer to all of our questions. But Justin Houston is a very good choice.
Yeah. But, I mean, he can probably go get a – Are you guys there still?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Brian froze. He's the tell you, it's that Coco Melon, man. It's that the kids shows on Netflix is messing it up.
It's a Coco
Melon. Those towels are ruining your life. But I mean, he's somebody he could probably get what he's asking for. I mean, he made, you know, between 10 and 12 or something last year with the Colts, and you know, 32, he can still get. Probably in the 6 to 10 range, probably with a, you know, on a 1 year thing or something like that. So, you know, it goes back to the money, you know, and what's if we can do it. Like, this is the part where you say, Ryan Pace could do something else to add something to the defense, it'll be huge. Right. You know, but we got to see if he can do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you.
And but, another thing I want to say about Justin Houston, like, the Colts defense was amazing last year. So, like, he, you know, some of them, I don't know how much it would have been, but some of them might have been benefit from the guys around them too, you know.
Right.
And the Colts were defense. I don't follow the Colts enough to know how they made that ascendance from defense, you know, on defense, but they did a great job building that and getting their guys to play together.
I think the Colts defense is going to be somewhat similar to the Bears defense. Mm. I think the Bears have the edge on player personnel and talent skill wise. But the Colts defense was phenomenal last year, you know? Yeah. And I really do believe that Houston would be a good fit. He'd be a great fit. Oh, there he is. Let's see. There you are.
Everybody do the Brian.
I went upstairs and I was like, what happened? And then the girls was like, oops, I turned off the modem. So, oh.
What'd I tell thanks. You?
You're grounded. Thanks. Clear room. But yeah, Marvin was just saying, you know, Houston did great because the personnel around him when he was with the Colts. I was comparing the Colts defense from last year with the Bears defense from this year. I think we have the edge on that as far as the talent skill wise. And that's why.
Ooh, I don't know. That Colts defense last year was nasty.
Did they end as the number one defense? Did they end as the number one
yeah,
defense?
Yeah, I think they did. Remember.
Yeah, I think they did.
They're close. That defense is a serious defense.
So well, I mean, I strongly believe we're not that far off. If we could fix our DBs, the corners, I think we're gonna be just as good as they are.
So a lot of this goes on the coordinator too. Like this, I just looked it up. Matt Eberflus, he's the guy that did that. He's got to be better than the guy we have starting first year. A lot of that's going to be that too. You can have the best pieces and not do the right things with them.
Right.
You know, and
for example, Quinn.
Yeah.
I really do believe Pagano is a hell of a coach. Nothing taken away from him, you know, but
how many times did Mac drop out in coverage last year? And I was like, what are you doing?
Because he was more conservative player. And that's why I'm believing that this year they're going to be a little bit more aggressive.
That I agree. Yeah, but Robert Quinn, you know what? You got to be able to beat one on one guys. You know, just what it is. Robert Quinn has to be able to beat one on one. You know, if one tackle's blocking you, you have to beat him. No matter what coverage you call, no matter what you call, you got to beat him one on one. If you don't do those things, that's what my problem was. That he never, in the Cowboys, he was the number one guy, so they designed the defense, you know, to get him open. Right. One-on-one, you should be able to beat this guy and not have to worry about it. I shouldn't have to design anything.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what you're asking to do. You have to beat the guy in front of you. That's,
I had a problem with him.
That's what being a defensive lineman is being about. Beat the guy in front of you. You're not doing that on some consistent basis. You know, you're not going to win every time. Aaron Donald doesn't win every time.
Right.
But he wins about 60% of the time. And then when he does win, he Fs it up.
Yep.
For everybody. Everybody having a bad day.
Right.
Everybody bad.
I think Houston can win a lot more. I believe Houston can win more one-on-one matches than Quinn as of now. So
he's only 1 year older than him.
Yeah.
And he had a better season last year. I was just looking at Robert Quinn. He only had 20 tackles and 2 sacks.
Yeah.
It's not that great.
And those 2 sacks came from low-end offenses.
Yeah.
He wasn't against the Cowboys.
No, it was like Deshaun Watson, both of them, wasn't it?
Actually, like right.
Did we have 6 sacks that game?
Yeah, I think they were both. Yeah. Watson. Yeah, I think they're both.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, they only people with a worse offense line than us last year. But.
Yeah, but I think how comfortable is he in our defense? That's probably another thing. You know, maybe he just still didn't understand nuances. Maybe he just didn't know he has to go with a motor all the time with the defense. He's he was very disappointing to me. I mean, honestly, if cap casualty, if I could get some of that money back, I would have released him and went with a different direction.
Right. I think
and kept Kyle Fuller.
And kept Kyle Fuller. Right. You can't really do that with Quinn. He's not like a Parkey where you sign him a big deal and he messes up and you cut him for the following year and just take the dead money cap.
No, I'm
not to you, whatever.
I get what you're saying, but like,
if it didn't cost money, yeah,
right. If it didn't cost money, that's what I'm saying. I see.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
I think that you saying the thing about comfortable, that you still have to beat the guy in front of you. Mm-hmm. If you're one on one with the tackle and you're that marquee of a player, you should have more wins than that.
Yeah.
Wins equals exactly. Sacks or wins when you're an outside linebacker in that defense. Tackles are wins in that, and you had 20. You know, so that means you're not getting there. You know, how many run plays go counter and then you're over there by yourself as the outside linebacker? That means you're chasing it down. Mac makes those plays all the time, chasing it down from behind because they ran it the other direction, you know. So you've got to do that. And that's not a comfortability. That's whether it's hard or whatever, I'm not questioning Quinn, but like you have got to beat up people. You got to beat people up. And he didn't do that.
It's having a strong, great motor that you're always going at it. And my point is that Leonard Floyd, who we got rid of, didn't resign for him, he weighs 135 pounds holding a 45 pound weight. Like literally, right. The dude weighs nothing. He's like a piece of paper, and he still got more tackles and more sacks, and more effort plays, and that's my issue. You have to show the effort all the time.
And you got to think about it. Quinn's got the same type of thing. You know, I mean, Mac plays. You know, outside linebacker, and Donald plays defensive tackle. So he's right next to Aaron Donald. So he's, hey, look, these double teams right here. I can just run fast around this guy. But you still have somebody drawing double teams and chips off of you. You know what I mean? They're not coming to chip Robert Quinn if Mac is on the other side. You know, so you still got to take advantage of that. And I think he's got the skills. And maybe, you know, I think for a lot of people, especially players that did good for last year, hey, COVID year, Kobe, throw it out the window. Come in and do what you got to do. That's it. We all understand that it was raggedy. A whole bunch of stuff was raggedy last year.
Yep, it was.
But the best teams did it. You know, Tom Brady and them did it. You were at the caliber of that. And if you want to still be considered that, you need to do it. The end.
Yeah. So for our viewers out there, hit us up. Write us a message.
Robert Quinn. What?
subscribe for us. I know you're really excited about this, so. I just want to do a quick, not a shout out, but I just want to advertise our stuff. Just subscribe. If you like what you're hearing, just, you know, follow us. Leave a message, comments, join the chat if you want. You have any questions or whatever, we'll try to answer them for you. But go ahead. What were you saying about Quinn? Brian?
You're muted. You're muted.
I'm just saying Robert Quinn needs it. He has to win number one. He has to be show that he's a number one.
You muted yourself again.
It's that damn ghost in your basement, man. That's what it is.
I was gonna go there.
It's your damn ghost, man. You didn't have the bacon this time. That's what it is. He, the ghost man, you didn't bring any bacon down to the basement this time. He's like, that pizza was all right. I really wanted some bacon and I really wanted some whiskey.
Jesus. That's so funny.
Yeah, I got shot glass, no whiskey. This is terrible.
All right.
Something that works better with whiskey.
It's probably Robert Quinn doing this to me. That's what it is. It's Robert Quinn.
No, you know who it is. It's Danny Trevathan putting that hoodoo on your internet talking that mess.
That's what you get. That's what you get. All right, for the DBs, I got Jalen Johnson, Trufant, and Duke Shelley. Now, there's Graham Jr. He's a rookie in his Vildor. So I know. Ugh. We all know, right? Ugh. That's how we feel. Jalen Johnson last year, starting from week two or three, I kept calling him toast because kept getting burnt, you know. And Trufant, well, we all have our Trufant stories and stuff that, you know, he's slow, he's hurt, he gives it up. Now, these positions are going to be very critical because we cannot get a coverage sack if we cannot give pressure to the QB because we got to fall back just in case these guys drop the ball or just get burned. We need a lot of help here. Jalen Johnson was a rookie last year. Okay, let's chalk it up that he's learning, and that's fine. He's no Peanut Tillman. I don't know why he has his number, but he's not Tillman.
Yeah, that's blasphemy.
Right, it is. You know, at least punch the ball. Let the guy catch it and punch the shit out of it, you know. But I want to really concentrate not on these three, but what's available out there. So
before you go to the next part, I want to explain to you why this doesn't match. These guys don't match the front seven that we have. Mm-hmm. Those guys that are up there are run stoppers, QB sackers, you know, with Mack and Quinn and then even Hicks and Goldman and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Our linebackers aren't set up, especially with your Trevathan and stuff like that, aren't set up for coverage. So the help that you might need with some weaker secondary, it ain't there.
Right.
It ain't there. Roquan's great, but you know that he can't do that by himself because you know, if Trevathan doesn't get better and he keeps declining, you're gonna have to do something else. So it's like a tale of two defenses right here. What the front set up to be and what the secondary lacks. You know, right. And they've got a I don't know if the defensive person has got the skill to do it or not to figure out how we can mask this with coverage or anything like that, but they've got to figure it out. And if it comes through, you know, game planning or whatever, or free agency, then let it be. Segue.
Perfect. So one of the top guys out there is Steven Nelson. He got cut last week, I believe it was, because Pittsburgh needed cap room. So they need some space. He's 28.
Yeah.
He's 28, 5'11", and 194. Last year, he played 15 games. He had 48 tackles, 43 was solo, 2 picks, 9 pass deflections, and 1 fumble recovery. What interests me is the pass deflections because that tells me he's there. Okay, he doesn't really get the pick. I don't know if he's a real ball hog or not, but I'm sure if the opportunity comes, he's grabbing it. Okay, but as part of the pass deflections, he's doing his job. He's holding his own.
Oh, pass deflections tell you too Steven that he's good. Go ahead.
No, just my daughter wanted to say hi.
Hi.
Say hi. Meow. Wait, hold on. One second.
Good. Hey, Bella.
Hi, Brian.
And that's
oh.
Hey, Martin. Bella. How you doing?
Good.
You're good.
Oh, my God. Oh. She's so cute.
I miss you, Bella.
I miss you, too.
Oh, thank you. Did you little girls are the best. You just don't know.
I was
I know.
At the pool.
At the pool?
Uh-huh.
That's so cool, Bella.
Did you jump in?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Swim lessons from my mom.
Oh, that's great.
That's so awesome.
So when I was in the shallow water, I was like, Ronnie, you have to go underwater.
You have to go underwater?
And I did this. I did that. Because I did not want her to get in my eyes.
Yeah, that stings.
Okay.
And I don't wear goggles. And they don't fit me.
Oh, we'll get you some new goggles.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll see you later. I'll see you soon, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Good job. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, she always pops in when.
Oh man, she did so much better than my son. He'd have got out here and said booty or something like that. He walked up right next to me, like, my booty hurts.
That's funny. She shakes her butt.
Yeah, but as long as she doesn't do it on camera, we're good. We're winning.
Yeah, that's all we need for it. The feds will be knocking at my door and shit. Like, I pay my taxes. What the fuck? Leave me alone.
I'll say Steven Nelson. The reason I think he's such a great fit because he's a bump and run kind of type of corner. He is not a very good zone corner. He's not gonna drop into a zone, you know, like that Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's a great drop into a zone, read the quarterback. That's not who Steven Nelson is. Steven Nelson is a bump and run. Right. I'm gonna take your first or second move away, and then I'm just gonna cover my back from there. And that works perfectly with our defense because we're trying to get a lot of pressure on the guys.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We're trying to attack the quarterback. You need a guy, a strong guy who's gonna not be afraid to get in someone's face. Because what happens is you know we're gonna get a lot of pressure. You're looking for those 3-step drops. You're looking for those slant.
Quick out.
Things like that. So you need a guy who's gonna be able to get in someone's face, man up on them, and be able to take care of them for the first 10, 15 yards. And if you do that, usually you get a cover sack. That's what we don't have. I also say this about Johnson. Though I don't like Johnson and I feel like he got burned a lot, I could tell that he's a good bump and run corner. But he was a rookie and he was stupid. You know, so a lot of things he felt for
some people call it inexperienced, but you go ahead and just say
No. He was stupid. It was just plain and simple stupid. Like, you didn't know he was going to come for the second double move? That was stupid. You know, but the experience that he got last year.
Where did Jalen Johnson go to school at? Anybody know?
Yeah, actually, I just saw it. Utah.
Yeah, it was Utah.
So,
even coming out in the draft.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I think it might be, as our friend Grizz said, stupid or experienced, but like, you know, you gotta learn and hopefully, I don't even know who the Bears, you know, DB coach is. But hopefully you gotta teach him those things. You gotta teach him those moves. Hopefully he learned a lot. But one thing I was gonna say about that, you being right about that, when I look at pass deflections for a cornerback, that means he's got good catch up. You know, because everybody comes off the line, everybody can get fast, and then he sees what happens, and he catches back up to make the play, to get the ball.
What happened was,
you know, and I think that's something that I see in Steven Nelson. Like, he's, like you said, he's a bump and run guy. He can get back on the receiver and stop him from making the play, and that's all we want you to do. You know, interceptions and stuff is great, but if they don't catch the ball, they don't catch the ball. You know.
Right. I think I'm looking it up now. Blazer, no. Pagano, no, this shit's old. Pagano, they have Pagano up here as a defensive coordinator. I'm looking.
Yeah, but I can't remember who the cornerback coach is, but I do know that that's something that you have to teach as a whole defensive philosophy. So it depends on what the coordinator wants to do. As your philosophy is, we're going to put pressure on this guy, then your cornerbacks have to be able to play bump and run coverage. You know, if you're trying to, you know, if you don't have a great defensive line and you're just trying to, you know, use a cloud or a dime defense or something like that, then you go ahead and say, oh, I need guys that are going great in zone. Richard Sherman's a great zone guy. I don't think he'll fit here because we need bump and run type of guys. You know, but Steven Nelson, I think, is right in line with what we need. And we need to just go ahead, find the damn money, and get it to him.
Deshaun Thompson.
Deshaun's great. Deshaun Thompson. I feel like that sounds very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know much about him.
Okay, so that's basically Nelson. So another guy I saw out there is Brian Poole. He's 28, 5'10", 213. He played 9 games last year, 44 tackles, 34 of them were solo, 2 picks, 7 pass blocks, and 1 sack. So he's a cornerback, so I'm guessing that sack came from a quarterback blitz, or he was just playing zone and the QB rolled out and he just attacked. But yeah, so what do you guys think of Brian Poole? Will he be a good fit for the secondary?
I think he's better than a lot of people we got at that position.
I think everybody we have that's coming up is better than what we have now. You know, with Jalen Johnson, he needs to learn still. Trufant, I kind of like him, but I don't know him enough. And I think I heard his name so many times because he was with the Lions. And I don't know if it was a good thing that, you know, he got a tackle after a 20, 30-yard pass pickup. Or it was a bad thing that, you know, he either picked it off, but then again, we had Foles, Trubisky, and God knows who else could anybody pick them off. So that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you know, but, I think that one of the things that's going to be missing with Kyle Fuller gone is that he came up and, like, made a lot of plays in the run game, Fuller did.
Right.
You know, and, like, that's what you need, somebody to be that tough to come in and do that. And, you know, you can't just be okay, if they pass, I'm out here, and if they don't, then I'm just, you know, walking. You gotta be getting your head in there. You gotta be always around the ball. Just like they tell every defensive player, what did they tell you to do? 11 guys to the ball. That's it. No matter what's happening, 11 guys to the ball, and that's what we need from our cornerbacks.
Yeah,
like read, diagnose, make a play, get to be in the right position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
Brian Poole, I like Brian Poole. My problem with Brian Poole is that he missed a lot of tackles last year. I mean, he played for the Jets, so there's a lot of opportunity to make a lot of tackles. But he missed a whole lot of tackles. Yeah. And with Kyle Fuller being the one that we're replacing, can you really afford that? It's not like we're known for making all these tackles. You know, we know exactly what our safeties are going to go do to run their shoulders right into the guy. Mm-hmm. We have to make tackles. We have to be solid. Other thing about Kyle Fuller is Kyle Fuller had swag. Kyle Fuller was not afraid of anybody. Kyle Fuller knew who Kyle Fuller was. And that's what we're losing that. And that's what concerns me the more than anything. And the fact that, you know, Duke Shelley, it's not we don't know if he could play inside. We don't know if he could play nickelback. We don't know those things about Duke Shelley right now.
Right.
And so you have a question mark, you know, there, and you got question marks at both corner, you need a stud corner somewhere. And we didn't draft one, which I love our draft. That means we need to go buy. We need to go pay somebody to come and be our cornerback. Desmond Trufant is a good safety net. That's all he is. He's a safety net. But you need someone who's going to go out there and show what they can do. Desmond Trufant has been underperforming for as long as I remember him. That's all. I mean, he was just highly talked about. Just everyone said Desmond Trufant is coming. He's going to be a great corner. He has not. He hasn't been a good corner anywhere. He's just a regular starter. He's, you know, he's nothing like exactly what Martin said. He's nothing special anymore.
Right. So Martin said Trufant isn't anything special. We had him for 7 years, used up his youth. So in other words, we get scraps.
Yeah,
we get scraps. So other than that, another person where I think might work is Richard Sherman. He's still out there. He's 33, 6'3", 195 pounds. He only played 5 games because he ended up hurting his calf or tearing his calf muscle or something. So out of the 5 games, he got 1 pick, 1 pass deflection, 18 tackles, 16 of those are solo. And that's in 5 games. Okay, granted, if you take those numbers, 5, 10, 15, so he might have got like 3 picks, 4. Maybe, you know, but so what do you think of Sherman? I mean, he's a veteran. He could help out the young defensive backs out there because I believe there are, what, Jalen's 22, 23-ish? Let's see.
They're babies, man.
Yeah, they are. 22, 24 is Shelley. Trufant is 30, so he's the older one. Wilder is 23.
And old and trash.
Right.
So,
Graham, he's a rookie or a second-year guy?
second year.
And I think that if you're thinking about Rachel Sherman, you're talking about exactly what Brian was talking about mm-hmm. with getting that defense of the secondary some swagger in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Richard Sherman could definitely bring that. He can bring some leadership into there and you know, teach guys and stuff like that. He's not the Richard Sherman he was, but he's still better than the people we got. You know, I think if he was hey, we need a coach, Martin.
That's exactly. Yeah. We hit all these rookies, all these young guys who are just going out there doing. But if someone Sherman comes in and hits the field and say, "Hey, this is how it's done," then I think that's even possible. I mean, he's looking for a team for at least 2 years or 2 years and a Super Bowl contender.
I don't want to pay Richard Sherman because I don't think he's a good fit, but he is better than any option that we have on our team right now. So no matter what I think, I know he's not a bump and run guy. I know what he is. He's a float. He's a read quarterback. He is a interception. I think he would have had more interceptions last year because that's what he does. He reads the quarterback and he breaks on the ball. You know,
right.
He's a guy, as I said, you know, if you don't have a defense that's putting a lot of pressure, you're able to play in the zone, watch the quarterback, wait for him to throw the ball and react. He's really good at that because he's a receiver. That's what he is. He doesn't drop the ball. He gets the ball. He's good at tackling. So those things are really good. But I think Sherman is going to cost you $10 million. And I don't want to pay $10 million. He's not a bump and run guy. I want to pay someone who's young. If you're 28 years old and you could be a bump and run guy, I'll pay you. But Richard Sherman is hard to pay that guy.
It's going to be about what the market says for him. Like, I feel like that there's going to be some lower offers that he's going to turn down. He probably's already turned some down, but then he's going to start feeling that heat when he's not getting what he needs, and maybe he sees something in what the Bears are doing, and see something in it. Like, maybe he takes. I don't think Richard Sherman is going to get $10 million now. I don't think he's going to get that. Coming off injury, being 33, I think that he's going to be in the 6 to 9 range, you know, per. And he's going to have to prove it. He's going to have to prove it on a 1 year deal. I think 33 years old is 67 in the NFL.
I think Richard Sherman goes back home
to Seattle.
Seattle gives him a 1 year, $10 million show me year, you know, and if he does terrible, they retire him as the Seattle Seahawk.
That's even possible too, because he's already up there in age and he's hurt. Who knows his calf could hold up, I mean, or anything else.
Problem with the calf is right to your Achilles, you know, so that's the problem. You know, you got the calf, you got the Achilles, the issue. And when you get old and you have an Achilles problem, that never comes the same. It never comes back to where it was. You never have that explosion, which is okay for Richard Sherman because he can't explode anyway. He, you know, he's a tough football player. He's smart. Richard Sherman is smart. And that's what you're paying them for, to be a smart guy, a swag guy, but he is not necessarily a bump and run guy. And I don't know how much he helps this defense.
All right, so that's basically my.
I think he helps.
I think it helps too. So it's either Poole, Nelson, or Sherman. I kind of like Nelson a little bit more, but hey, you know, because I know
I like Nelson a whole lot more.
Yeah, when Nelson was out there, there was rumored like 14, 15 teams are going after him. Like, already sent the offers immediately when the word got out. One of them was the Bears. So it's really up to him. It's his choosing. So our next position is the safeties. So we got Eddie Jackson. We got Tosh? What? How do you see?
Gibson,
yeah. And then Bush. So we got Houston Carson as a backup and then also Lucas. Now, the safeties, if Eddie Jackson performs like he did 2 years ago, and Gibson's coming back because he was freed and he signed up for 1 year, I think we'll be okay, a little bit under okay, you know, because these guys are going to have to work overtime, making sure Jalen or Trufant doesn't let the receivers go. So it's going to be tough for these guys.
Yeah.
Gibson is a starting safety at least. And that's it. We have a starting safety next to Eddie Jackson. They themselves are good at safety. But if one gets hurt, we're screwed. Deion Bush is the leader of the special teams, and he can play a little bit, but he's not really a safety. So we're really thin at that position. That's why I would be more worried about than trying to upgrade it, just trying to get some depth. Because if one of those guys get hurt, we're screwed royally.
Right. Yeah. So you want to chime in before I move on, Marvin?
Oh, no, I agree with you. But, like, you know, this goes back to the same thing. The Bears have a money problem right now.
Yeah.
They got a money problem. They, you know, they signed up for a free T-shirt at the football game when they was at college, and now they got to pay that debt back for the 33% interest rate that they got. You know, it's just not a good position to be in. It's right. not a good position to be in, you know. So you got to – this is when you got to get creative about stuff. And, you know, it's going to be – if he makes a move in one of these areas in the secondary or something like that, it's going to be I'll give him credit for it because they're going to age out their Pro Bowl people on the defense. They're going to age them out. You know, Hicks is going to be gone because of contract if they don't do that right. You know, Khalil is, you know, you hate to say it, but he's got to get something going too. Somebody else is going to take him again too, but like, you got to do something with these people that you got while you have them. We've wasted two and a half years of these guys, you know, greatness, you know, on raggedy quarterbacks, raggedy, you know, not effective, no offense, Chuck Pagano, defensive strategy, and we need to do it. We need to make it happen now.
Right. So going back real quick, I just noticed it. Martin said, one day
I think Chuck Pagano played defense. What?
No, I was just saying, Martin said one day contractor retires. I'm guessing that's Sherman. Yeah. And then he also said Marquis Christian.
Yeah.
He's already a safety for the Bears.
Marquis Christian. Yeah, so he's a strong safety. He played for Arizona. He's a decent strong safety. So yeah, I understand. But free safety is really suspect right now. Christian, I don't know if he can move well, you know, as well as he need to be a safety, but I do like him. I do mark Marquis Christian is someone who's going to be a rotational guy.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah. So on there, the one person I saw is Malik Hooker. He only played two games last year, and his Achilles broke, you know, it snapped or whatever. So considering that he's 25 and an injury like that, we could get him from cheap, you know, because until a team has enough confidence in him, I really do believe we could get him for cheap. He's 25, he's 6'1", to 214 pounds. And, you know, I don't think it matters because I've only put the four-year stat because last year he only played two. But he has, in 4 years, 7 picks, 11 pass deflections. 124 tackles, 81 was solo, and that's out of 36 games. So considering he's with the Colts, I did not check what kind of safeties the Colts have because I noticed he played 7 games 1 year, 8 games in another. So I think 2019 he played, what was it, like maybe 12, 14? So I'm guessing, you know, that's why their defense was so damn good. But he might be a fit unless, you know, something else happens.
with us paying Eddie Jackson as much as we paid Eddie Jackson, we have to know that they're not going to spend a lot big money on safety. They're just not. Safety is not a position where you pay a lot of people. So, I mean, anything we're going to get, we're going to find a diamond in the rough. That's just what it is. So
we have to.
Achilles injury sound like a diamond in the rough. You know,
right. Well, I would be more likely for a knee injury. Achilles is so hard. No matter who you are, you don't come back the next year as a great player. It's usually a 2 year gap that, you know, takes you for your Achilles, or you never come back. But knee, just that's how they got Eddie Jackson in the fourth round. Eddie Jackson tore his knee up in college, and everyone was like, "Oh man, forget him now." And they were like, "No, that's when you jump on something."
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm thinking it's the same. Martin's saying that y'all broke as fuck. So
who the hell is your team, Martin?
That's funny.
You're right.
Oh, was that Martin?
You're right.
Yeah, that's Martin.
Yeah,
Martin.
Yeah.
So
his team, Martin. How about that?
he right though. Don't be mad. He right. We had broke as hell.
Just because we had to pay their loan store to pay for our safeties, come on now. Time of heart over here.
What's that?
Were you like trying to sell the bean to people and stuff? We need that Chicago needs it.
What was that title cash title loan or some shit?
Right.
All right. Oh, so man. After all that being said, this is our schedule for the 2021 season. So we all agree.
Yes.
That the Rams at the Bears. I'm sorry, the Bears are going to St. Louis. That's going to be a key game because that's
Los Stafford. Angeles.
L.A.
Oh, yeah, L.A. That's right. Wow. What did I say, St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kids don't even know that now. It's like so long ago. They don't even know.
L.A.
Right.
St. Louis who?
So they go against the Rams, and that's going to be key. Bengals. And Browns.
Hey, really?
Browns.
Like, I remember when they were in St. Louis, they had a good stadium there. Yeah. I used to like going to the Rams games there. It was nice.
The greatest show on turf. I remember that.
Yeah, it was amazing. And they just got backstabbed like if the Bears moved to some other city, not Chicago.
Yeah.
Like they're talking about.
Yeah. Didn't the Browns also got backstabbed from
Arlington Heights?
Arch Mordell or Shell or something?
No, they in the middle of the night, like at the middle of the night, like they just moved. They're like, that's just going on to Baltimore in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's right.
Bogus.
Yeah.
That's right. Like that, yeah. No one could talk shit. Yeah. So it's Browns, and then the Lions, Raiders, and then the Packers. So that's going to be also interesting if it's going to be Rodgers or even worse, Watson. After that is the Bucks.
Do you not understand how much I would hate. If they got somehow they got Watson, my God! I'm just
I can guarantee you, Deshaun Watson ain't trying to go nowhere near Wisconsin. Green Bay is not a good place. It is not a good area to be in. There, it's like Chicago,
but if he wants to redo,
it's much colder in Wisconsin.
That's true.
Nobody wants to go to Wisconsin. Can we get the joke, Kim? No, nobody want to go to Cleveland. Why? Nobody ever heard by sick. I'm going on vacation to Cleveland. It don't happen.
Unless your name is Drew Carey, he probably would just want to go to Cleveland. Because he made that song where he in Cleveland rocks.
Oh, my God. Wait, you ever see that the hastily made video? They're talking about Cleveland. Welcome down to Cleveland Town, 81. Under construction since 1865.
That's funny.
Look, we have a lake that catches on fire.
What was it? I can't remember where that was from. That was from.
It was a hastily made promotion for Cleveland, and then like the end of like, we're not Detroit. That's the best part of Cleveland. That
that's funny.
We are also from Detroit.
Yeah, yes. So we go against the Niners on Halloween at San Francisco. So that's gonna be pretty cool.
You need more O's after that. That's just boo. Like you
need like to, Halloween.
You need more boos. You need more.
Then O's. I saw for the 24th they have the champs with the Bears. I'm like, they don't even put the Bucks. Fuck that. Anyways, I really like the bye. It's in the middle of the schedule.
You know? That's the best bye we've had in a long time.
Yeah,
it really is.
I saw the stat this year. Did you know that the last three champions have had a bye in the week 9, 10, or 11? Like it was 7, 8, and 9. So this year the champion's supposed to have a bye week in week 10.
Look at that.
So
go to Vegas.
I'm just throwing that out there.
The Tampa Bay also has a bye week in week 10.
Yeah, Tampa Bay also has a bye week in
10. The kind of Tim Kramer said the kind of messages he'll get up in Wisconsin. Damn.
Yeah.
The kind of massages. He meant to say massages.
Oh yeah. But they'll come for him though. Like, oh, you want a massage? We got a girl for that.
So
one thing I didn't say in the beginning when we were talking about it, you think that, you know, I know the preseason is the preseason. You think he's going to affect Justin Fields' development having a one less game?
I think that's why he won't start week one. I think if he had a full preseason, he would have a real chance to start week one, which I don't want him to. But, you know, I think that is the reason why he won't.
Yeah, I mean,
from what they're saying, what Nagy's saying and everybody else saying, it doesn't sound like they got any damn self-control. I can tell you that right now. It don't sound like they got any self-control at all. Like, they're like, yeah! And they're going to bust early. Like, I swear it never happened to you. You know, like, that's what's going to happen. And, like, it's going to be the worst thing. Like, we made it to the playoffs last year. I know we kind of tripped into that shit, like, but that's fine. Like, you gotta judge yourself and what happened. Like, I know the whole quarterback who's not gonna be named and stuff like that, but like, we made it to the playoffs two of the last 3 years. Like, you don't have to rush him if you're expecting somebody to be like, hey, 10, 12 years. We haven't had anybody like that. We haven't had anybody longer than 3 years. How long was Cutler the starting quarterback? Was it 3 or 4?
No, yeah, Cutler's been starting for a long time.
Yeah.
I want to say
a long time.
Cutler, I want to say 08 till 15, 16. I'm going to say eight or nine years.
It wasn't 8 or 9 years. It was not eight or nine years. So.
That's a Kramer question. For what? Cutler?
How long he's with the Bears? It wasn't 8 or 9 years.
He was with the Bears.
I'm going to say 9 years.
Holy shit, really? Years,
from 09 to 16.
Wow. I was wrong. Call that's that a shit. Long ass time.
Yeah.
7 years, man.
But, you know, I don't want him to start week one. I don't want him to start in any week that's got, you know, that's just a single digit. Like, that bye week coming back week 11, that'd be slide him right in right then.
Right.
If the Bears, if they make it to the bye week over 500, if they make it to the bye week over 500, then you bring him in on week 11.
That's going to be rough because that's Ravens defense, you know, and plus the team itself
only has
4 days
it's
off.
It's not the same Ravens defense.
It's not the same Ravens defense. And the Lions going to be trash. That's a perfect time. The Lions, they're big trash. They, you know.
Yeah, now they got Goff. Yeah,
well, that's why I say I would love to start him.
I got the locker room.
Week 13 would be perfect for him. Right after that Lions Thanksgiving game, go against the Cardinals. Now you only got a couple of games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games left in the season. See what he does. You know, he didn't have a long season last year in college. Give him 6 games if he gets to the playoffs. I will be okay with him starting a Cardinals game and playing 8 games this year. That'd be great. I'm okay with that.
So
that means we win 2 games. I mean, win a game and then get the second round playoffs.
What do you think that they're gonna do in the first 9 games? Let's take a minute to do a prediction here. What do you think they're gonna do in the first 9?
The first 9 as like the record.
Yeah, I think the Bengals and the Lions they're gonna win those. The Bengals and the Lions.
I say in the Brown. I think we shocked the Browns. And Raiders. I could see us going 4-1 and then lose 4 in a row. We could be 4-5 and 4-5 going to week 10. Yeah. 4-5 not going to week 10.
I think we could beat the Niners.
Depending on what Niners is there.
Okay. So do you think they still got Garoppolo, right?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I know they got Lance.
Yeah,
Trey Lance, but they could still be good.
So do you think here's an over under. Who do you think is gonna bust their QB nut faster, the Bears or the Niners?
The Niners.
You think so?
No. Yeah. Oh, hell no. No, Trey. Garoppolo's going to play the entire season. Trey Lance is not ready. If you looked at Trey Lance, Trey Lance is not ready to start in the NFL. He only played two games last year. Trey Lance won't play at all this year. Trey Lance will not play unless Garoppolo gets hurt again.
Dynasty Brandon says, don't sleep on them Browns.
Yeah. No, I think the Browns good. Will be amazing.
I'm saying I just want us to shock them. It seems like the Buccaneers game last year. Like, oh, we're not going to do it. Yeah, but
so he the Dynasty Planet also said the Bears will first.
He's trying to say bust. Yeah. He's trying to say bust.
Well, in the butt.
Doing the butt.
So what's your prediction of the first nine, Marvin?
I think they can beat the Rams the first game.
Okay.
I'm giving them the Rams, Bengals, Lions, Raiders. That's four. And the Niners game. That's what I think. And probably even the Steelers. I think the Steelers are with how old Ben is. Like Ben is like decaying. Like the Raiders of the Lost Ark when the dude's skin melted off or whatever it was. That's what it's funny. Looking like for Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know if that's the right Indiana Jones movie. Right. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but, I know. But the Holy Grail or whatever.
Yeah, whichever one it was, one of them shits.
so you're saying 6-3?
I'm saying they could go 6-3. I think 5-4 is more likely.
5-4?
It all depends on Aaron Rodgers. Because if Aaron Rodgers is not there, then I'm going to go ahead and say 6-3. If Aaron Rodgers is there, then I'm going 4-5. Makes no sense at all. But I think winning the Packers game
will give us momentum.
I honestly believe that. I believe they will have momentum. And I think the Niners are going to be great. I think they'll be great. But Steelers, I think we can beat the Steelers.
The Niners going to be great with Garoppolo?
I think their defense is unbelievable. I think that team overall is a great team. They just all got hurt at the same damn time. They like lost everybody on their team. Like, they didn't all have starters. Their starters, their bench people, their practice squad people, all of them were hurt.
Waterboy in there. Everybody.
Tile boy. I was like, what is going on?
I think 5-4 is you know, I think I would be happy with that. You know, And then we just see what we can do in the back half. I just don't, you know, I don't think it's necessary to bring him in unless Andy Dalton's just sucking, which is a high probability. Right. You know, I'm sure there's odds for Andy Dalton sucking on the line too, you know. So
what do you think of the weeks 11 through 18? What do you think that schedule is going to be like? So what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I think playing at Seattle, like the day after Christmas is going to be hard in general, you know, going there to play a game is never good for anybody that's not the Seahawks, you know? And then, you know, you really got to see by that time. I think by this time, the second half is when I think that they'll have Justin Fields in, and you got to see what he can do against these other teams. I think that playing the Lions again would be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think even playing the Cardinals is going to do good for him. I think that game, the Cardinals game, has got a potential to be like a super shootout if Justin Fields gets in by then. You know, going to be – they each throw for 500 yards and stuff like that. Whoever got the ball last is what's going to be. You know, right. That could be like a coming out.
I say Khalil Mack eats him. That's what I'm going to say. Khalil Mack is going to eat him alive, and that's what's going to happen.
Eat who alive?
Kyler Murray.
Murray. I can't really see that because so their offense versus our defensive backs. So
That's the only way that we're going to stop them because our defensive backs suck and they got the best receiver in NFLs on their team.
Right. And then not only that, they also drafted who they picked up this year in the draft. Was it Patrick the second or the third or something like that?
It's on Pat Surtain?
Yes. Thank you.
I think it's Surtain.
I think that's who they drafted. But either way, their defense is no joke. I mean, I can't see them giving up a lot of points unless there's a lot of injuries or you know, mismanaging, miscoaching, whatever. But I really can't see them giving up a bunch of points. And if our quarterback situation is questionable, either with Fields or Dalton or Foles, you never know. It better not be Foles. I think we're going to cut him or put him on the practice squad, but that's a lot of money going to practice squad.
We're going to trade him. We're not going to cut that guy.
I think somebody's, you know, the first few weeks, somebody's quarterback's going to get hurt, right? And they be like, oh, man, we need somebody. We be like, hey, we got this. We got some candy.
Right. Yeah, the ultimate relief pitcher. Come on.
Take this offer. Come on.
Right.
But I mean, he's the ultimate relief pitcher. That's what he got.
That's funny.
Any one of them BBs.
So what do you think is the record on the second half and the schedule?
Because we're gonna have I think it's gonna be better. I think it's gonna be better in that. Not because the teams are easier. What the thing that you're looking at for me, and I've said this from the whole time that they drafted Justin Fields, he needs to come in when the offensive line gets together, okay? Right. And it's going to take some time, and I think it's going to be right there around that bye week. They're like, oh, we all like turkey sandwiches. Okay, here we go. Here we go. That's what it is. You know, because, like, you have to, you know – You have to know the guys that you're playing with, what they're going to do, what you know, when this happens, how many steps they're going to – you can feel those things. I know he's going to be taking up this a little bit more space, so I got time to get over here to this guy that's blitzing on the outside. Right. Wherever it is, you're going to get it together, and it's going to – I think playing good teams that are throwing a lot of issues is going to get them the experience that they're going to have.
Yeah,
I think that Browns game is going to be a lot. To with their defensive line and stuff that they get, man, it's going to be a lot to go up against them, you know. And then when they got to play Tampa Bay again, I'm glad they kept everybody, but everybody was kind of old on the Bucks, like, and oh boy, JPP still only get like half a hand, so you know, I think that some of those guys might be aging. We'll see what they did. They weren't able to. I mean, they're not going to be able to add anything in free agency. The Bucks,
right?
From bringing all the guys back and stuff. You get what you get, and that's going to be it. So if they age, then it's going to be they're going to have a hard time. But I think that reasonable. Now that it's 18, I think they can go 10-8 for the whole season. I really do.
11-7.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I got.
No, it's 17 games.
It's 17.
10-7. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I have them as 9-8.
I have them at 9-8. I think
because I think they're going to go 4-4 at the second half of the season. I'm counting the Packers as if they have Rodgers. Until then, he's the star.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can split with them. I think we can. That second game in December is good. By that time, offensive line likes each other. Justin Fields probably be in December 12th game at Green Bay.
If Aaron Rodgers is still there, Aaron Rodgers is still there. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. I think the Lions, the Cardinals game. I didn't know the Cardinals got AJ Green now too. They got AJ Green.
They got the ghost of AJ Green.
And DeAndre, no, AJ Green. AJ Green's going to come back because he has DeAndre Hopkins on the other end. AJ Green could go ahead and just walk down the field and still be wide open because they got triple team DeAndre Hopkins and he still get the ball.
Yeah.
But you know, so I want 9-8 though. I think 9-8.
Yeah, I got you 9-8. I got Marvin as 10-7. Is that your final, Marvin? Yeah, and I also have 9-8. I'm also having 9-8. 80 last words, guys.
I think this will be a fun season. It's going to be a really fun season, full of ups and downs. And I mean, last year we ended up being 8-9 because we got to the playoffs and lost. I think we'll be a 9-8. We'll do definitely a step forward. I think the thing that holds us back is our defensive backs. And until we can answer that, I just can't go into double digit wins. If we get an answer for that, then I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable. But going against Aaron Rodgers with that defensive back, fuck that. Honestly.
Well,
you know how I feel about Kirk. You know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. You know, everyone below him is terrible. Everyone above him is a starter. And if Kirk Cousins would eat us alive. So we got to figure out something about the Leafs and the backs.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins. Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
That's how I feel that's about funny. Him. He's you know, line funny. Of terribleness is Kirk Cousins. That's what it is.
Yeah. Let's see.
What is it called on the globe? The prime meridian? Is that what it's called around the globe? the midpoint line is the prime meridian.
Yes.
The prime meridian of terribleness. Mitochondria is the prime meridian. There you go. The more random facts that they made you learn in high school that you don't use at all anymore.
Was the last time I said that?
Right.
Prime meridian. So, speaking, let's just jump off of that before we get technical. So, guys, we are, Tuesday. So, yeah. So, tomorrow we have the Dynasty Pylon with Martin and Mark. They are going to discuss the NFC East. See how that is going on Thursday.
It's hard to do to point at these like on the camera. This is weird.
NFC East.
Yeah, they're gonna discuss the NFC East
on Thursday. Crap.
Right on Thursday, we as a DWJBBF episode 68 episodes. Jesus Christ, that's a lot. Do we talk about all anything, almost anything but politics? So that's fine. On the 23rd, we are discussing the morning spike. Let me see real quick. This morning is better. We're discussing the morning spike. AFC West. Last week we discussed
AFC East. West. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And on Monday, the Sparta Kings. We have Army of the Dead with Tank Kramer. And
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that's gonna be good.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, guys, it is fun. We actually went on 1:34, which is pretty damn long. And wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Everybody out there. Best. That's funny. Yeah. That's after show shit. We'll talk about that after the show.
I was like, let me lob it up there.
He's like, Kobe, not in my house. An hour 34. It has been fun. Marvin, thank you so much. Brian, thank you. And I'm going to thank myself because I'm just awesome, man. You know, all these PowerPoints and stuff.
Exactly.
But guys, it's been great. Everybody out there that watched us, listen to us, please hit the subscribe. Please follow us. There's going to be some news coming up very, very soon. Follow me with changes. So it's pretty exciting. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Awesome.
So for Marvin and Brian, this is Fredo signing off. Thank you so much again. Have a great rest of the week, guys.
See you guys. Hear that? Knocking teams out every Sunday. Fire in our eyes, can't stop our drive. Hit so hard, we might you at 85. We the Bears, monsters of the midway. Knocking teams out every Sunday. Fire in our eyes, can't stop our drive. Hit so hard.